Next major piece of the story, I want to show us today that the story progresses from a tent to a temple. Okay, there it is, I'll put it up here. God, as the story moves on, makes his home in a temple. Now this is Solomon's temple, there's a little picture of it up there for you, at least a diagram of it. So it was like the tent on steroids. It was kind of the tent made big and beautiful and bold and permanent. And last week we left the story, bit of history. Okay, please don't switch off because I know I'm going to do the boring bit as it were first, the history bit. And then we're going to go into think, well, what difference does this make to us? Okay, so here's the history bit. We left it in the book of Exodus. And God dwelt among his people. He was near them. And he wandered with them as they wandered in the desert. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy is God wandering with his people after their disobedience for 40 years. And the tent is still in operation. God still lives with his people in this tent. And then you get to the book of Joshua, where they move into this land that God had promised them. So they start living there. They start to become a bit more settled. But all the way through the Bible book of Joshua, the tent is still in operation. God still lives with his people in this tent. And there's the sacrifice and there's cleansing. And then you get the book of Judges. And it's a bit of a disaster book in that throughout this book, people keep rebelling against God and God sends them a savior. But it hints, you need a king, you need a king. And then there's the Bible book of Ruth. And out of this amazing story, almost a love story in some ways, comes a family line and out pops a king. And his name was David. And David had his heart, had on his heart to build God a temple. He wanted to build him, you know, say, well, look, this is a tent. It's a bit kind of temporary. I want to build you a temple. But David wasn't allowed to build it. It was his son, Solomon, who was allowed to build the temple. Okay, so you still with me? This is history. It's important history. And that's where we're going to pick up today. So I need you now to open your Bible because it would make no sense otherwise if we didn't explain that. 1 Kings 9. So in 1 Kings chapter 6, Solomon builds the temple. In 1 Kings 8... God moves in. There's this spectacular moment where everyone gathers around this building, around the outside, and the cloud that was on the tent suddenly moves and lands on the temple. God moves in, and there he is, right at the center of his people, living with them again, but in this building this time. And then we pick it up, because God has something to say to Solomon as this temple is built. 1 Kings chapter 9. When Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had achieved all he desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated, that was that word from last week, cleaned it up, made it holy, this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully with integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. But if you or your descendants turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. This temple will become a heap of rubble. All who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord their God, who brought their ancestors out of Egypt and have embraced other gods, worshipping and serving them. That is why the Lord brought all this disaster on them. Keep that open in front of you. I want you to picture something for me for a moment. If we as a church family were to go for a tour of London, so say that's what, you know, we arrange a trip next week. There's a couple of ways that we could do it. First of all, we could go for a walk together. You know, we could just wander the streets, couldn't we? We could look at all the details. You know, we could walk down one street. Have you seen this building? Have you seen the architecture on the top of this building? And we could walk along and we could see again and see another building. But if we were to do London like that, it would take us forever, wouldn't it? Because we'd be walking around every street together and it would take a long time. The alternative way to see London is that we, if there was a helicopter big enough, we could jump in a helicopter to fit all of us in and we could fly over London and we could take in all the sights and oh look, there's Big Ben and there's the Houses of Parliament and oh look, there's the Gherkin and there's Tower of London and we could fly. Now we wouldn't see the details like we would if we were walking, but we would see the main things, wouldn't we? Now, if you want to be patient with me today, because what I would like to try and do is take you on a helicopter tour of the temple. If we were to sit together and look at all the details of the temple story, we would be here forever. And we would never get our lunch, because it takes up such a huge chunk of the Bible. The temple, this building that Solomon built, actually occupies, okay, and there's details to this, but it takes up from 1 Kings, where we've read, all the way through to the time of Jesus and beyond. Now, that's all of that in the Bible. Now, do you want to read all that this morning? No, not many people do. Because it would take us ages. But what I want to try and do is take the helicopter tour, and I want to fly over the story of the temple for a moment, rooting ourselves in 1 Kings 9, and I want to show you some details. And here's what I want to do. I want to show you 2 wows of the temple. 2 things about this temple that should make you go, wow. I love God. I love Jesus. I love what he's doing. 2 wows of the temple. The second thing I want to show you is 2 warnings of the temple. So 2 wows, 2 warnings. Here's wow number 1. If I can get this thing to work. Ethan, could you move it on for us? Is that okay? Here's wow number 1. And that is that God wants to live with his people forever. That's what I want you to see this morning. God wants to live with his people forever. I don't know about you, but I get deeply frustrated when things I like wear out. So being a typical male, I have probably had 1 pair of jeans way too long. And this week they wore out. And so I was summoned to Next to go and buy a new pair of jeans. And the thing about it, though, is that it's so frustrating because you love the jeans you had. I wanted them to last forever. They were comfortable and they fitted and I didn't have any problems with them. And then you have to go into a shop and it's all awkward. And you just think, I wish it could last forever. Now, you may think this guy is nuts talking about a pair of jeans lasting forever. But there is something built into us, isn't there, that wants things to last. You know, we laugh about genes, but what about relationships? You know, what about when it comes to friendships, family, husbands, wives? Isn't that something that you want to last forever? Doesn't it feel wrong when something intrudes on it? A breakdown of relationship or death? Even. It's horrible, isn't it? We are wired to want things to last forever. As parents, sometimes we're so prone to this. There are moments where you just think, oh, I wish my kids wouldn't grow up. I wish they'd just kind of stay at home. And you know, because you want to capture something, don't you? There's something that says, I want something good to last forever. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we haven't got time to turn there. But it captures this truth because it says that God also set eternity in the hearts of men. Why are we wired to want things to last forever? Why does it feel like death is such an intruder? Because we're built for eternity. God made you that way. When God made Adam and Eve, he made them, he formed them in the garden, and he gave them a tree of life, which as they ate of it was a symbol that they, with God, dwelling with God, would live forever. And actually, God, when he moves from the tent, from the tabernacle, and the cloud moves to this temple, to this building, God is communicating a message that we've got to listen to today. And what is it? The message is that God wants a relationship with you that lasts, not temporarily, that isn't like my pair of jeans that wears out, but he wants a relationship with you that lasts forever. That's never ending. The tent, the tabernacle. As you read through the Bible story, God's story, that's all heading here. It was very temporary. In a tent, you pack them up and you put them away, and then you move somewhere else, and then you get it out again. It captured a phase of this people's history when they wandered, when they were nomads, when they were no fixed address. But when they built the temple, it was a time in their history when they were settled, when it was meant to be more permanent. God, as it were, as he swaps canvas for bricks, he's saying something to his people. I want to dwell with you forever. No more moving around. So just look with me. I want to show you this is true. 1 Kings 9 verse 3, the passage you've got open in front of you. As he's talking to Solomon, he says, I've heard the prayer and plea you've made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. Now, you have to take my word for this because we're doing a helicopter tour. But did you know that this is the first time that God starts to use the language of forever? It's when the temple's built. He didn't use it about the tabernacle. But the temple, he says, hang on. This is communicating a message that God's purpose, God's plan, God's pursuit is for a never-ending relationship with his rescued people. Even Solomon gets a hint of that. Back in chapter 8, when he's built this, he says, God, I built a magnificent temple for you to dwell in forever. What kind of relationship does God pursue with you? What kind of relationship is it through the Bible that he is chasing down as he sends his son Jesus into the world? He's pursuing a relationship with you that starts now and lasts forever. A relationship that no one can ever snatch away. A relationship that just keeps going. It's really hard to imagine forever, isn't it? Because we're so caught in the temporary. You know what? We live by a watch that clocks minutes. We age every day. We are so caught in this. It's very hard to imagine forever. But God says, I want a relationship with you like the garden where Adam and Eve lived forever with me. As we helicopter fly, as it were, over the temple story, this building of this temple, this moving into the temple. Actually, it's meant to make us see that God wants a forever relationship. The temple, this building, was never God's goal. This bricks in Jerusalem was never his final purpose. The physical temple that Solomon built is actually, as we'll see later, a pile of rubble. It's just a wall in Jerusalem. But it points us forward to a home that will last forever. A better temple. A better place where God will enjoy that near relationship. And friends, this morning, as you look at the temple and you see God saying, I want to live with my people forever. Actually, it should point us forward to the time when the perishable, us, is swallowed up by the imperishable. When the temporary, when the wandering around like nomads as aliens and strangers in a world will be fixed in our home with God forever. And no one will take it away. Christian, we live in the temporary, don't we? We live in the corroding, the breaking, cursed world that we live in. But can I say to you this morning that as we fly over the temple, you should be sitting there saying, wow. Wow, God wants to live with us forever. Not temporarily, but a time is coming when we will move from the temporary to the permanent. When the relationship we enjoy now with God through Jesus Christ will be lasting forever. It will be reality. It will be the permanent relationship. That's wow number one of the temple. God wants to live with you forever. Not temporarily, but forever. The second thing I want us to see as a wow as we fly over the story is this, that God's forever home will be built by a son of David. As you read the story, you can't miss it. As you're reading this temple, David, King David, the mighty king, he says, I want to build you a home that lasts forever, God. But God says to David, no, it's not going to be you. Well done for having it in your heart, he says, but it's not going to be you. One of your children, one of your sons, is going to build me a temple that lasts forever. And actually, physically, who was that? It was his son. It was Solomon. But actually, it points us beyond itself to a greater son. You see, Solomon, he spent 7 years building the temple that we put up on the screen. He spent 7 years building this magnificent temple in which God dwelt among his people. But actually, he built it. It was the son who built it. But he points us forward to another time when a greater son of David would appear to build a home that lasts forever. I don't know if you've ever wondered why the New Testament starts with a family tree. You ever wondered that? You're thinking, if I wrote the New Testament, I'd make it far more like fireworks, boom! Start with a family tree? How boring! But do you know why it starts with a family tree? Because it links Jesus to David. He's a son of David's. He's a family member in David's line. And God, as he puts this moment in history when the temple is being built, he's saying to us as we open the New Testament, here's the son of David that's going to build my forever home. Here's the one who's going to build a home that truly lasts forever, where relationship will be established that no one can take away. You see that? As we fly helicopter over the temple story and we look at the details from above, what's it saying? The forever home, the home that God plans to dwell in more permanently, is going to be built by a son of David's. And friends, that is Jesus. The angels announced, didn't they, that as Jesus was born, today a Saviour has been born to you in the town of David. So you've got to get this. David deliberately was not allowed to build the temple so that we got this message that it's a son who's going to do it. A son, and the great-great-grandson of David, Jesus, came and he establishes God's home. This home that will last forever. And as Jesus died and rose again on the third day, do you know what the resurrection confirms to us? All sorts of things, actually. But the big thing that the resurrection confirms to us is that he has built something that will last forever. Why? Because he's come through death. And he's eternal. He's come out the other side. The resurrection says to you, oh look, here's the one who's built the forever home. Death intrudes, doesn't it? Death brings things to an end. But here is a son of David who's come out of the great intruder. And it's going to last forever. And all the way through the Bible story, we are just being thrust towards Jesus. Do you see that? So even this temple, even this building thousands of years ago, it screams to us, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the one who will establish a relationship that lasts forever. Jesus is the son of David who will build a home that lasts. And actually, I've got to say to you this morning that if you want to be part of that home, then what do you need? You need Jesus. Jesus, the son of David. Jesus, the one who gave his life so that we could become part of this forever home that's coming. Two wows of the temple. You guys with me this morning? Two wows. God wants to live with you forever. Not temporarily, forever. And it's the son of David who will build that home. And it should lead you to Jesus this morning. You should leave here saying, Jesus, you're amazing. This is all about you. But actually, I'd be wrong if we didn't helicopter over and leave us also with two warnings. Two warnings of the temple. First one is this. Sin separates us from God. My kids love to play in the garden at the moment, and they spend a lot of time mucking around. But as the weather kind of turns, they're starting to get a bit more mucky out there. And you kind of hear them playing outside, and then you kind of hear them running towards the house. And it's that moment where Emma normally says, right, stop, take your shoes off. You can't come in here with muddy shoes on. You're mucky, you've got to stay outside. You know, perhaps they just want to grab something, but they come running in with their mud. And Emma says, no, stay outside. And actually, in a similar way, do you know what the temple has that very message built into it. Stay outside. Not because you have mucky shoes, but because of sin. Sin keeps us away from God. Whilst the temple, as we helicopter over it, communicates a message to us that says God wants to live with you forever, if you look closely at the temple, it also says there's a problem. I want to live with you forever, but there's still something that keeps us at a distance. There is still separate rooms. So the temple, if we were able to look at it, just like the tent last week, kind of has this kind of almost going further and further in until you reach the most holy place where God lives. The place where he dwells. And outside that room is a curtain. And in the tent it was pretty big and it had cherubim in it. But in the temple it was even bigger. It was massive. I was reading something outside of the Bible the other day, but just said that they had to use horses to pull this curtain into place. It was a hand span thick. It was massive. It was a huge keep out sign that says sin is a problem. It's a problem that keeps me from God and God from me. He wants relationship, but there's an issue that stands in the way. And just like Adam and Eve, who were thrust away from the garden because of their sin, so too does our sin keep us at a distance from God. It keeps us away. And my sin has and does and always will keep me away from God unless it's dealt with in some way. Do you see that? And so you can't look at the temple and ignore the fact that there's this elephant in the room. Great, God wants to live with us. But we can't come too close, or else we'll all die. There's the elephant in the room, and we've got to address it. That's what God communicates. I want to live with you. I want to do it forever. But sin separates us from each other. Sin will constantly keep us separated. And that's why we need Jesus. The temple also, like the tent, had an altar. And it had a basin for washing, an altar for sacrifice. It still needed blood. It still needed cleansing for us to come near to God. And as we this morning look at this temple and think, what a great thing the temple was. Actually, we've got to see that it points beyond itself. What is needed if we're to dwell near God forever? What is needed is a better sacrifice. And what is needed is a better washing. And what is needed is a better relationship with God. One with direct access. We need Jesus. Jesus is the Son of David who gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins. To cleanse us that we might come near to God. Do you see that? So as we hover over the temple this morning, and you may be sitting here thinking, well, I'm not really sure what the temple's got to do with me. Actually, do you know what? It's God communicating a message that unless your sin is dealt with, you cannot come near to me. That's what God's saying to us in the temple. And unless our sin is dealt with, we won't just stay away from God now, but we will stay away from him forever when this home comes. Sin is a problem. And the temple, like a parent guiding a child by holding their hand, takes us by the hand this morning and it leads us to Jesus. Because it says to us, God wants to live with you. He wants to live with you forever. But it's only as you come to Jesus, the sacrifice that washes our sins away, that we can come near to God and be sure of relationship with God forever. Warning number one, sin needs dealing with. Sin separates us from God. And some of us can sit here this morning because we have run to Jesus and we can praise him. There is no arrogance in it. We haven't done anything to contribute to it. But we can say, Jesus, thank you that I can come near to your Father, to you, because you died for me. Thank you that I do have a place in this eternal home because Jesus dealt with my sin. And that's what we're meant to see as we look at the temple. But here's warning number two. Warning number two is this. Disobedience deserves destruction. Sometimes as a parent, you do these kind of crazy things like, you know, say, if you do that again, I'll take that away. You know, I don't know if you've ever done that. Perhaps I'm just a terrible parent. I read about one dad actually recently whose teenage son kept slamming the door of the bedroom. And he said, you've got to stop doing that or else I'll take the door away. And eventually, this son did it one too many times, and so the dad took the door away. And so this teenage son had to live in his room with no door. But he threatened and he threatened and he threatened until the teenage son got his door taken away. Now, can I show you that actually, in a very similar way, God warns the people of this story, the temple story. Okay, we're helicoptering over. And the people that have this temple, he warns them. Just look at 1 Kings verses 9, chapter 9, verses 6 to 8 with me. This is the warning. This is the dad. You do that again, I'll take the door off. You do that again, I'm going to take the door off. Look at verse 6. But if you or your descendants turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I've given you, and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all my peoples. This temple will become a heap of rubble. Here's a warning from God. It's a warning that disobedience, rejection of his means of relationship, that's what the temple was, okay? It was God's way of saying, I'm going to engage with you in relationship. If they rejected that way, then the temple would become a pile of rubble. Did you see that? Destruction and relationship with God over. Now, sadly, you're helicoptering with me, okay, over a big chunk of the Bible. But sadly, as we fly over the story, what do we discover? We discover that they do exactly what talked about here. They disobey God. They repeatedly, over and over again, reject God, reject his offer of relationship. They reject his laws. They reject the temple. King after king, generation after generation mistreating. And as we sit here today and we look at this story, you know, we're not meant to sit there and say, oh, naughty Israel. You know what? We're meant to see that, and we're meant to think to ourselves, look, this is a warning to us. If we have the nerve to repeatedly reject God's offer of relationship, not through a temple, but through his son, the Lord Jesus, if we repeatedly reject his means of relationship, then the warning is that leads to destruction. Because that's what happened to the people of Israel. The story in 1 and 2 Kings is a very sad tale. There's a king named Jeroboam. Jeroboam was a king. And do you know what he said to the people? He said, guys, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to the temple. I know that's how you really get to know God. But I'm going to give you another way. Because I want you to stick with me. You see what he'd done? Just a king. And he diverted people away from the temple. The way from the place where they're going to be in relationship with God. Where their sins are dealt with. And they're diverted away. Now, isn't there a danger, friends, this morning that can happen to us? That we're diverted away from Jesus? It's a warning to us, isn't it? Come try some other ways to enjoy a relationship with God. You know, try a little bit of this spirituality. Or try a little bit of this and just, you know, just avoid Jesus for a bit. You'll open up your experience. It's a danger that we can be turned away from Jesus, from the means of relationship. Jeremiah, one of the prophets, a little bit later, he accuses the people of treating the temple like a lucky charm. You know, here they are, they've got this building in the middle of their city, Jerusalem, in the middle of their nation. And they're like, our God lives among us. You know, nothing bad's going to happen to us because we've got the temple. You know, and they did. If you read Jeremiah, you'll see they're like, oh, the temple, we've got the temple. And they thought that was kind of their lucky charm for everything to be all right. Do you know what? Do you think there's a danger sometimes that we might treat Jesus like a lucky charm? I'm all right. I've got Jesus with me. Actually, do you know what? That's a warning to us. That as we mistreat Jesus by treating him like some kind of lucky charm, I'm okay. I'll do what I want to do. I've got Jesus. I go to church every week. It's a warning in the Bible that persistently treating Jesus like a lucky charm is his offer of relationship. Actually, if we treat Jesus like that, then there's a warning that destruction could come. Manasseh, another king. I'm just flying you over, okay? We're helicoptering. You still with me? Manasseh, another king in the story. Do you know what he does? He takes loads of idols and he fills the temple with idols. So he takes God's home, this means of relationship with God, this very centerpiece where God says, I want to live among you, my eyes and my ears are here, I will hear you. And he fills it with idols? Now friends, isn't there a danger that sometimes we want God, but we want him our own way? We want to do things our way. We rely on other things more than we rely on God. More than we rely on the Lord Jesus. That's idolatry. And actually, do you know what? There's a warning in these stories. As we helicopter over this temple story and we see their disobedience. King Ahaz, well, he was a bit more blunt. Do you know what he did? He shut the doors and he nailed them shut. And he said, that's it. And he just literally turned his back on the relationship. Literally just said, I'm not having anything to do with that temple. And do you know what? There's a danger. Perhaps some of you have got there that you're thinking, I've just turned my back on Jesus. I'm just turning my back on that extension of offer. I'm just walking away. Maybe some of you are close to that point, but this is a warning. Don't do that. Because if we repeatedly reject this offer of relationship, which is what the temple was, then what happens eventually is that temple is destroyed. Two more. He's still alive. Joash, Josiah, two kings, long way apart. But on both separate occasions, actually quite good kings, but actually on separate occasions, they have to take loads of time to put the temple back together again because the people had just rejected it and neglected it. And maybe this morning there's a little warning in that even, that we've got our relationship with Jesus, but we're not really that interested. When does it get a bit of attention? On a Sunday if you're lucky. On a Sunday if you can be bothered to come. Actually, we should be in relationship with Jesus all the time. That is our means. He is our way of relationship with God. And you know what? We have to be careful. We have to, as we helicopter over the temple story, beware. We have to see that actually consistent disobedience, consistent rejection of God, of Jesus, the way to relationship with God, ends with destruction. We don't want God, and we don't want God his way. That's a pretty accurate description of our world, isn't it? But before we point the finger out there, we've also got to check our hearts and say, actually, that could be what's creeping into our hearts. I want relationship with God, but I'm not going to have it on Jesus' terms. I want it my way. And actually, this then is a warning we need to listen to. Do you know, hundreds of years, and it was hundreds. And friends, just absorb that for a second, though, the patience of God. Hundreds of years of them treating his home like this. Hundreds of years. And 2 Kings 25, the very end of those two books, God raises up Babylon. And they come and they crush the temple. And the temple is a pile of rubble. Just like God said. Now don't slam that door. Don't slam that door. Don't slam that door. And then the door's gone. Don't treat my home like that. Don't treat my home like that. Don't treat my home like that, and then the home's gone. Do you see the seriousness of that? God's home is gone. And do you know what? It's even sharper than that, because in 2 Kings 25, all you see is a pile of rubble. But in Ezekiel, the prophet, do you know what he sees? As this destruction happens in Jerusalem, God, he sees the glory of God, his presence, leaving the temple. He sees it rising up and departing. The relationship is over. Because they kept rejecting. They kept rejecting. Now actually the story's not over there. Okay, I've slightly kind of caricatured it. The story doesn't end there. We know the story doesn't end there. But actually, why does God allow this to happen to his home, to Solomon's temple? He allows it to happen to warn us. To warn our world. Rejecting God's hands of relationship. You know, he extends his hands of relationship to us in the Lord Jesus. And if we persistently reject that, just like they rejected the temple, you know, all day long, it says in the Bible, God has held out his hands to obstinate people. But if we reject it, then one day the chance of it will be gone. The chance of relationship will be disappeared. And actually, do you know what? This is a message that again, that our community needs to hear. We need to tell our community, look, God has given a way of relationship, near relationship with Him. It is not a temple today. It is not a building that you can go to and find God through sacrifice and curtains. It's not that anymore. But He holds out His hands to us in Jesus. And in Jesus and His cross. And He says to us, come near to me. And you will have a place in my home that lasts forever. That's what He says to us. That's what He says to our community. And we have to warn people that if they reject that for too long, then one day the time will come and you won't get that chance anymore. Just like the temple was destroyed, it communicates a message that disobedience, rejection deserves, ends in destruction. And actually, do you know what? Some of us this morning need to hear that message. We're believers. We're the people of God. But perhaps we've just started to reject Jesus in some way. Perhaps we've stopped giving Him our attention. Perhaps we've started to rely on other things to bring us closer to God. We need to check our hearts this morning. And actually, as we head into a new week, do you know what this should really drive us to do? To open our mouths to tell people. Did you know, person at work? Did you know, friend in the classroom? Did you know, mum in the playground? Did you know, neighbour? That Jesus is God saying to us, I want a relationship with you that lasts forever. Jesus is the son of David who, you don't have to use that language, that will confuse everyone. He's the son of David that built God's forever home. And His hands are out to you. But if you reject it, then one day the chance will be gone. The temple will be destroyed. Two wows. And two warnings. Okay, we've taken a helicopter tour. There is so much we could have done with the temple. And actually, I need to explain something next week because the temple gets rebuilt again and we need to go through all of that. Well, that's fine, but we'll do that next week, okay? But the big lesson is this. Two wows. How long does God want to live with you for? Forever. And who's going to make that possible? The Son of David, Jesus. But two warnings. Sin separates us from God. The temple screams that message. Bigger and bolder than the tent did. And actually, one day, disaster will come if we reject Him forever. And that's a message that should drive us to this community. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing together. And we're going to sing a great song, which is one we haven't sung here before. But let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your kindness to us in Jesus. Father, even though like Adam and Eve, we constantly disobey and we have stepped away, as it were, from Your commands and Your truth, and we deserve to be away from You, thank You that in Jesus You have brought us near. And Father, perhaps where some of us are in danger of neglecting our relationship with Jesus, turning our back on Him, perhaps where some of us are playing with other things as well, idolatry in different forms. Please would You drive us back to Jesus. Please would You make us those who listen to Him, who love Him, and who know that it's only in Him will we be part of Your forever home. Father, please cause us to walk out of here in wonder at Jesus. And please give us open mouths to tell our community that this offer of relationship won't last forever. Father, please hear our prayers. Help us, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.